Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's the Huddle live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN, all accounted for. Brady's here, Rich is here, Arnie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
That was one of your better efforts. There was a little extra there left over from the pathetic effort you put forward yesterday.
Yes, that was horrible.
You say that every day. Every day you go, that had a little extra oomph to it.
Well, except
not yesterday.
Today I had a reason for saying that.
Yes, yesterday was horrible.
Yeah, I didn't screw it up.
I was embarrassed.
Yes,
that was you who screwed it up yesterday.
By the way, we got to start off with yay to everybody here who won an award. I think it was everybody but us.
Yes.
Congratulations. By the way, do they have an award for like best radio show and best sports
radio
show?
Well, they have the Daisies, which is 7 days, but it's the same group. They just stuff the ballot.
What was going on today that everybody was having lunch? That's what I want to know. Because I see like all the TV people were going, the radio people were going. I never get invited. So what was going on today?
It's the Vermont Association of Broadcasters awards banquet in Montpelier.
Are we not under that umbrella? I'm curious.
We are. We are broadcasters, but we don't have anything to contribute to it other than buying all the alcohol.
My wife went. What the hell does she have to contribute
but
to that?
She's in sales, so she sells the advertisement. This was about ads.
Our team here at the company won production awards for commercials and things like that.
Okay, but is there not awards for like best show, best morning, afternoon, midday?
Correct.
Night? There is or
no? No, there isn't.
Well, why the hell not?
Then we invented it. We're the best afternoon show in the area.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Well, we're the best live three-man sports show in Chittenden County.
There's so many people we'd like to thank.
Well, then how come all the TV guys were going and stuff like that, though?
Because that involves production values as well.
No, the on-air TV guys were going.
Well, I guess
Tom Messner was there.
Yeah.
Well, of course. What, the legend.
For a free meal or something? Is that what it's
sure
all about?
I'm sure you get a free meal, yeah.
Oh, jeez. We never win anything. We never get nominated for anything.
We won tons of stuff today. The production crew did.
We, as the three.
But we didn't do anything. We show up here and talk.
That shouldn't stop us.
Do you know how much production it takes to do our show, Rich? Don't undersell us.
So you wanted an award?
No, I don't
want.
Because
of the buttons you push.
No, not that. I'm saying for a three-hour sports show, it takes us jointly like 7 hours of research every day.
I understand that, but this is strictly ads. This is advertisements.
We make promos of ourselves every day.
Now, what about you said the. The 7 days. They have a poll on that one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the Daisies.
The Daisies.
And basically, that's just please vote for us and everybody just stuffs
the box. We better
win
that.
Yeah, can we win that?
Sure.
Best afternoon show? Best talk show?
The best live afternoon show from 5 to 5:01.
Best looking radio show?
Oh, absolutely. Speaking of the way you look, this guy, he waits for me to walk in today.
Oh, I called I'm not going to say who it is, called the big TV muckety muck.
Okay.
Got a meeting with them Friday.
Local?
Yes.
I'm not saying national, local. Not saying.
All right.
I'm just trying to figure out how to get
I won't say that it's
local. Wait, so are you trying to brand yourself without us? Are you branching off?
I would, that's what I would ask the people on the Top Fair Tire text line. How do we take the huddle to the next level? I mean, how do we go ahead and have the three of us? Because really, I mean, radio is good, but we need radio /TV/movies. /everything.
Movies.
You know? Oh, come on now.
So your appearance in The Tub Boy or whatever it was called wasn't enough. What was that movie called you were in?
The Pool Boys.
The Pool Boys.
Yeah, The Pool Boys. Almost forgot what
the hell I was Boys.
In. No, we need to be on TV.
Why?
Why not?
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
Who wants to see this?
One, I'm good looking. Two, I would think people that are driving around that are listening to the show would also say, you know what, I'm going to go home and I'm going to watch. Dan Patrick's on TV.
Yeah.
Colin Coward's on TV.
Good looking guys.
Mike and Mike used to be on TV. Yeah.
Golan Wingo
were on TV.
Yeah.
The hell if the huddle's not going to be on TV.
All the Boston shows are on television.
How about Facebook Live?
That's not the same.
What if we're streaming?
But if we were on TV, would you watch us too? Town Fair Tire text line 802-655-6672. You wouldn't be able to dress like a schlub like that. You know that, don't you?
Says the guy. What is that you're wearing? Kent State Hockey.
Yes. Okay. I guess we could dress like schlubs. It really wouldn't make much of a difference.
Maybe we could get like on public access, like channel, like, you know, if there's like a channel 87 open or something.
Maybe we could shoot a little higher than that. You know what I'm saying?
Artie's World.
A little higher
Artie's
than
world.
That. No, I just don't understand why we just don't grab a little TV. You know, I have done CNN. So has Brady now. Yes, you know what about that?
That's right.
How about that now? Jeez. So
funny, no response. Go fake it.
We got two responses.
Oh, I was hoping.
Derek and Middlebury just crop Arnie out.
Yeah.
And what is it from Tristan says, the Huddle is the best afternoon sports show from 4 to 6 in the Champlain Valley.
Yeah, that's why I thought we should get that award.
Does that mean Champlain Valley game night's not the best from 6 to
7?
Wow.
Proud
to make happy around here.
Yeah, no, we got
to. We do have one of the top sports shows in this Chittenden County area, no question.
You know what I was thinking is, if we did TV, right, we're doing the show, and we had like a personal chef bringing in this food, you know, what? You know, maybe people giving us like warm towels, giving us haircuts, a shave while we do the show, kind of like a, you know what's so funny is, they're suing each other. LeBron and Nick Saban suing over the barbershop idea.
Maybe they could take all the hair from my head and put it on my legs.
No, just, you know what, Rich? Would you not like to be there? Maybe somebody massaging your shoulders, giving you a haircut, maybe trimming the beard a little bit while we're doing the show, maybe giving you a drink with an umbrella with it.
Okay, now
we're
talking.
Would you like something? Would you like a slider with some fries instead of eating the damn tuna sandwich that you bring in every day? Would you like something nice?
No, but I think you guys would like me to not bring in a three-day old tuna sandwich every day.
Would you not like to be pampered just a little bit? How about we gave you a pedicure and a manicure while you're doing
the hell's going to go near my toes?
Yeah, my toes look like fangs. Oh, they're horrible.
Adam in South Burlington says he would watch us on Facebook Live or YouTube streaming.
Maybe we'll do that. And Logan says, okay, sounds like the movie Anchorman.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we've got to be on TV. We really should. I mean, I've seen some of the stuff on TV, and we're already could pass that.
Yeah, this time of the day, absolutely. Yeah. Anybody could beat anybody this time of the day.
Not if Judge
I have to watch,
Judy.
If no, I Judge have to Judy's watch, tough. Judge Judy's tough.
If I have to watch the, what is it called, the Chew? Or it's a bunch of crazy women sitting around talking about how horrible everybody's life is.
That's The View.
The View. The View, The Chew.
That's Rich at 101.3 ESPN if you want to.
The View is, I get stuck with that at the gym every day on the treadmill.
That's one of my favorite texts ever, Shane in Burlington.
What does it say? Read it.
It says, go on TV, Arnie, so I can see your furrowed brow mispronounce all my text messages.
How about if we had the Town Fair Tire text line on TV?
Then people would see everything, because people text us mean things that we don't read. Everyone would then see those things.
How great would that be?
would Facebook Live, that would be the case because those comments appear.
Wow.
Look at this gym in North Colchester.
Is there a North Colchester?
No. Where the hell's North Colchester? I guess it's the north part of Colchester.
North of South Colchester.
Are we? I think we're in North Colchester, aren't we?
How the hell do I know?
That's the Costco area.
I don't even know which one you're reading.
It says, I would watch. You guys look way better on radio. Yeah. That's another one. I've heard that one before.
Well, he can't see us. How would he know?
Maybe he's met us out. He or she. It was an unnamed texter.
Brady, what do we got coming up this week? What do we got going on tonight? What's up on the show?
Milton equals North Colchester. I thought Milton.
Oh, okay, so Chimney Corners, in other words.
I thought Milton equaled Milton.
No, but he's right. That's Chimney Corners. Okay.
Wow. Rich outsmarted on something geography. You know, that will...
Mistake of the day.
That will eat at him the entire show. Trivia tonight, Burger Bar Colchester, 7:30 to 9:30. Rich, we've got all kinds of specials today as well.
And maybe that'll be one of the questions tonight. what is North Colchester?
Half-price appetizers and then also tons of beer specials. And, Rich, you had the long list in front of you.
Let me figure this out.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'll never hear the end of it if I don't say this. Long Trail Blackberry Wheat.
Love that.
Nice.
Love Long Trail.
Nice.
Lost Nation Ghosts. Fat Tire.
Boy, do you make it appealing. Oh, do you not? Reading is fundamental, Rich.
It's 16-ounce cans for $3.50. Miller Light Draft. Now, okay,
$3. Now you're talking.
Blue Moon for $3. And Colors, I assume that's Coors.
Coors Light.
Coors Light, $2.50. Teach your wife to text.
Yeah, well.
You're making fun of someone else about technology.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember, you can listen to the show on your Amazon Echo device by saying enable 101.3 ESPN and then open 101.3 ESPN. Subsequently, mistake of the day. Rich is already up for his geography mistake.
Sure. Seven of them.
If you want to get in, you can. 802-655-6672. You're up for that baseball cap. From Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. what's coming up today. Bill Belichick spoke, and he seemed extra grumpy today at OTAs.
Yeah.
We talk about that. Tom Caron of Nesson at 4:35. Freddie Coleman, ESPN radio host, 5 p.m. Are Tom Brady and Gronk around the corner from Gillette Stadium? That's possible. We'll talk about that. And a very funny story from Alex Cora. But first, we're going back to Boston, and we're doing so at two games apiece.
Ugh.
I'm going to say, Arnie, I'll let you go first.
Mm-hmm.
I am not feeling as discouraged about the Celtics' loss yesterday as I bet you are.
I am. I'm feeling very discouraged. Matter of fact, I actually think this is worse than the 30-point loss or whatever it was.
Why?
I felt that, well, if we're just going to speed it up to the fourth quarter, I'm waiting for them to get that one bucket.
Right.
You know, the Cleveland didn't score from like about 10 minutes or 11-minute mark to about the 6-minute mark, and the Celtics couldn't take advantage. I'm like, one bucket. I think they had it at 8 was the lowest. I'm like, one bucket, one steal, cut it to under 5, put a little pressure on them. They never got that extra bucket. They, for the most part, it was always 9, 9, 11, 9, 9, 9, 11, 13. Could never close it. Very frustrating. Not that they deserved to win it, but I felt maybe they could steal one, maybe pull it out, pull some pressure on them. They didn't. Very disappointing. Look, they got down in the first. I said, well, they're not going to win this. I'm actually surprised that they kept it as close as they did. They lose 2 apiece. It's anybody's game here now. I don't even feel good just because they've been undefeated at home in the playoffs.
Well, basically everything I sat there and watched the game and formulated in my mind to say about that game, you just took it. I mean, that's exactly how I took it. I'm sitting there watching it, and every single time they get it to 7 or 8, it's like Rozier brings the ball up, fires up a 3, misses. Jaylen Brown, who ended up missing 13 shots in the game last night despite his 25 points. That wide open jumpers all over the court, and then LeBron would go down and hit a running layup at the other end. It was I can't decide what's worse, losing by 30 where the game's over immediately, you can just go to bed, or losing that kind of a game where you get within 8, within 7, within 8, within 7, and it just keeps going back and forth, but you can't seem to break through that wall.
I'm not I walk away not discouraged about this loss. I really do. And when you look at the stats, the Celtics were even or better in nearly every category. Okay. The Celtics and Cavs shot almost identical from 3 in terms of makes. They shot almost identical from the free throw line in terms of makes and percentage. The Celtics had half as many turnovers as Cleveland. Yep. The Cavs had 18 turnovers in this game, okay? The Celtics had more assists. I look at this and say, if the Celtics don't miss, I mean, the Celtics missed 15 layups slash dunks in this game. 15 layups slash dunks. If you miss even half of those, you score more, and you limp. Jeff Van Gundy said it perfectly on the broadcast. When you miss a layup at one end, it invariably turns into a transition bucket on the other end. If the Celtics hit 5 of those missed layups and dunks, they score more, and they limit 5 more buckets for the Cavs the other way. I'm not feeling discouraged about
this.
You
just gave every reason why I should have given on why you should be discouraged. You outplayed them every which way possible. Or even, and you still lost.
You got out rebounded by 10.
And you still lost.
They got killed on the boards.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, again, you had a chance to steal this. I'm very disappointed that they came out flat in the first quarter again. What was it, 15? I don't even know what the hell.
34-18.
16.
Yeah, it was over quickly.
And then it was a fight uphill the rest of the way. Oh, a battle. Second, third.
Right.
And 9 was like the magic number. 9, 11, 11, 13, 9, 15. It would go up, it go down. Never get over that damn hump, man. It was very frustrating. You know, waiting and that fourth quarter, what was it, from the 10-minute mark to the 6-minute mark, they went 4 minutes, Cleveland without scoring. I think the Celtics with that 4-minute mark also went only 2 points.
Yeah. Cleveland had 43 points in the second half, and they just couldn't make shots. I think they hit 41%, or they were like 9 for 30 or something from beyond the arc. And a lot of them were wide-open looks. A lot of them, as you said, missed slam dunks, missed layups, and that stuff drives me nuts, but Brad Stevens was, he couldn't have been more optimistic. He sounded like nothing had just happened. He's like, oh, well, how great is this that we have a 2 out of 3 to get to the NBA final after the game?
The thing that surprised me most after was to come in this morning and start reading the articles and listening to the audio. I was so mad yesterday. I was like, how many times is Terry Rozier going to guard LeBron one-on-one in the post and be overmatched?
I think it was 4 for 4 when LeBron was against him.
But then you come in and hear this morning that that's actually a good thing. Brian Windhorst, he was on Golic and Wingo today, or he was on SportsCenter last night, rather, and he was talking about how Rozier on LeBron is actually a win for Boston.
But one thing I thought Brad Stevens did tonight, Scott, that I think you'll continue to see, he really tried to clamp down on the shooters. LeBron had 12 assists in each of the last two games. Tonight, he only had one assist in the second half. And I know people were attacking maybe Brad Stevens for going with the switching defense and leaving Terry Rozier on an island. But they were able to get back in this game because the Cavs, the shooters, weren't able to help. So I think that might be a game plan going forward. And it may be where the Celtics are willing to let LeBron score 40 or 50. Hope he has a bad night and see if they can get back on the winning column.
He must have watched a different game than I did.
Nah, he watched the same game.
No.
Second half, did you see J.R. Smith finish with under 10 points? Did you see Kyle Korver do anything in the second half?
Those guys shouldn't do anything. I think J.R. Smith is a joke. Every time he makes a three-pointer, you think it's worth 15 points the way he's reacting out there. It's a joke. And no, I don't understand why it was a win situation with Rozier. I saw the stat. When he guarded LeBron, LeBron chewed him up 4 for 4. And had, I want to say, 11 points, but he got fouled a couple of times also. It's just insane. That could have been the difference right there, right? A 10 or 11-point difference right there.
Yeah, and I mean, Rozier is one of the two guys who had a plus, for the plus-minus. It was a +3, so it wasn't much. But, I mean, he did some good things, but he just, like I said, he couldn't hit shots. He just kept running down in ISO and taking threes and just playing street ball a little bit there, and they just couldn't make any shots.
Dan in South Burlington says on the Town Fair Tire text line, not sure if you got to this already, but love how Cleveland exploited Rozier's lack of size on the defensive end. Hope that continues.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah. It's what we're talking about, but you know what? And I thought the same thing during the game. But then when you hear Windhorst say it and you look at the numbers, LeBron James did have 12 assists the last game. He had 3 all of yesterday. He only had 1 assist in the second half. So if the strategy is going to be, we'll let LeBron take Rozier one-on-one, and fine, maybe he'll have his way a little bit, but he can't kick out. We saw this in the Milwaukee series.
Which would you rather? Going into game 5, it's 2 games apiece. I'll give you the choice right now. Do you want LeBron shooting 12 times like in game 3? Or how many times?
29
times like he did in the last game.
I'll take 12.
Especially on the road.
I'll take the 12 and let him dish it out to the rest of those big stiffs and see if they can do it again. I'll take my chances. I'll take my chances with LeBron shooting 12 times and see if those knuckleheads can do it to me again.
Well, those stiffs, as you said, Thompson, Hill, Smith, and Korver had 49 points between the four of them last
night.
Do
it again.
So he's getting some help.
I'll take my chances with this. I'll let LeBron go off for the big number like Brian Windhorst said, and I will clamp down on the three-point line and make LeBron hit a bunch of twos in the same way that Milwaukee did. Milwaukee outshot Boston, but they hit so many twos and didn't hit very many threes. I'll let LeBron go off from two-point range, clamp down, not let anybody else get going, and I'm going to force Kyle Korver and J.R. Smith to start playing one-on-one isolation ball because they're not having wide-open shots created by me doing different things to LeBron. I'll take my chances with that.
Sean in Colchester, Ernie, you're wrong. Look at game 2 where LeBron had a 42-point triple-double, and we still beat them by 13.
That's what I'll take.
Yeah. Well, you know what, then? And by the way, you want to get in the Town Fair Tire text line. You tell me how the best of 3 is going to go. You tell me how game 5 is going to go. Would you rather have LeBron shooting 12 times or 29 times? And is Boston going to go and win this? Was they're undefeated at home? 802-655-6672. 802-655-6672. Scott says, Brady is right on this one.
Thank you.
Well, wow. We'll see how right you're going to be when he shoots the ball 29 times or 30 times and scores 60 points en route to a victory. Now, if I come in and say, well, I can't help it, J.R. Smith had 20 Korver had 20. Well, what the hell can I do? I'll get beat by them every time of the day. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Coming up next, Bill Belichick. It's the first time he's spoken at OTAs, and he seemed in mid-season
form. Oh, yes, he did. We'll get to that next. You're in the huddle right here on...
Phone lines are now open. Get ready to call in at 802-655-6672. This is The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Remember, coming up later on, Tom Caron, also Freddie Coleman from ESPN.
One of the nicer people we've ever met.
He is. Yeah. He's actually one of the guys I like in this business, one of the few.
There's a couple of them.
There's just one. I think that's it.
Well, it's weird. You say this, and you're always hammering on all these people in media, but every time we go down to ESPN in Bristol, Everybody treats us like we're royalty down there.
I'm afraid to show my face down there. So.
I know you are.
Yeah, I don't want to go down there.
Everybody seems to love you, though.
I don't know why.
They love everybody down there. It's like it's like Disney.
It is amazing. But
it's owned by Disney. So
that would be why, I guess. All right, everybody show up and smile all the time.
Yeah. If I wasn't doing Fox, I'd yell at Freddie to put me on his show. But I think he has a co-host, Freddie and Fitz.
He does.
Okay.
Well, you should know that before we have him on.
Freddie Fitz and Arnie.
Yeah.
The huddle.
All right, what's going on with Belichick? What's going on here?
Well, Belichick spoke at OTAs.
Yes, he did.
And he, number one, didn't have much to say, and number two, sounded even more agitated than usual. He was nicer at the Super Bowl press conference that I attended than he was today to these Patriots media members. Well, let's just play it from the top. Right off the bat, somebody asks, the sacrificial lamb goes, "What do you make of Tom Brady not being here? Have you communicated with him?"
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about the people that aren't here. The guys that are here are improving. They're working hard. And those are the guys we're going to focus on.
See, I would have followed up with a good one after that. I just said, well, then if we're not going to talk about the guys that are here, then is Hoyer your starting quarterback right now, then I'm assuming? I would have made him say something like that.
Brady's here, and he is playing very well.
This was one of my favorites. Somebody took the chance to not ask him about Tom Brady and Gronk, and he said, well, have players gotten to step up as leaders?
Yeah, a lot of them do.
Just a lot of them.
A lot of them do.
Yeah, he didn't say who or how, or he just said, yeah, a lot of them have.
Why does he have to be like this? I mean, it's just the first one. Does this even count as the first one of the season? Or no, that doesn't even count as the first one of the season, does it?
First one what?
You know, like the first official meeting with the media.
Yeah, this is a press conference.
No, I think it's got to start when they officially get in the camp in the, in the summer. But I mean, gosh, you got to be like a jerk right now in the pre. I mean, come on now.
He has a way about it of being a jerk that isn't as obvious as a guy like Popovich.
If I was a reporter, I'm going, this is going to be a long year. It's going to be a long year.
And that would surprise whom? I mean, you ask him where, what do you think of Brady not being in? You could have asked the same question and insert backup punter's name here, and it would have been the same answer.
He said, is it hard having OTAs without your starting quarterback?
All the guys that are here, not everybody's working, but all the guys that are out here working are improving, and it's a great opportunity for them and for our team to come together. That's what's happening.
So
I don't even know what the hell he said.
He said it's a great opportunity for the guys that are here to get together.
He's thrilled.
Great opportunity, because you never had this type of opportunity again. You have no idea where it's going to come from.
He always just sounds so exhausted. He probably just spent the last month on some island somewhere.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, then he was asked, if we're not going to talk about Brady, Coach, what do you make of Gronk not being here?
Yeah, like I said, Mike, I'm focused on the guys that are here, and those are the guys that we're working with in this OTAs process in Phase 3. Those are the guys I'm concentrating on. That's who we're focused on.
Phase 3.
Well, that's what they call it. This is Phase 3 of the off-season program.
And at least he acknowledged Mike. I assume that's probably Mike Reese.
Yes, it was Mike Reese.
So at least he acknowledged his existence on the planet. That's kind of nice.
How great would it be if there was a Saturday Night Live skit and Belichick and Popovich were in the media side asking questions? But who would they ask questions? It'd have to be somebody who would be like a comedian or something. You could do like
Keenan Thompson could play Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
That would be like the funniest skit ever. I'm just picturing this in my head.
Or maybe like Peyton Manning answering the questions or something
NBC ought to, if they were willing to put a fortune down, I bet that would actually happen.
Would that
would be great.
Could you just see Belichick raising his head and just asking a question, like something really stupid? Do you want to win the game this week or just something?
Why did you lose?
Yeah, why?
Because we scored less points.
I just can only imagine. That would be great.
And then the last one. This one was, it's an underrated storyline, but this was an underrated Belichickian answer. They said, "What did you see in Sony Michel to make you want to draft him?"
Yeah, I think Nick covered all that. Nick did a great job with the draft, going through all the people and everything. So I was second what he said.
So if you didn't hear what Nick said, then you're out of luck.
That's like a real question, too.
That's
a real question.
And then the next guy takes a shot and he goes, "Hey, you drafted Braxton Berrios in the 7th round out of Miami. What have you seen from him?" He goes, "Yeah, Nick, same answer. Whatever Nick said." Nick Caserio, meaning the player development guy.
So if you weren't around for the Nick conference, you're out of luck.
Nick Caserio.
Yeah. Can you imagine being under? How'd you like to have that job? Oof.
I mean, that was like a legitimate question. You couldn't even give a damn answer. A seventh round pick, you couldn't even give the damn answer.
I don't know. And sometimes Belichick does get, obviously, I've said how I feel about him. He can be a real jackass, no question. But Popovich takes shots at the media. He makes fun of the media. Belichick just sits there and is indifferent to everybody. He doesn't want to be there. It's very obvious, but he doesn't attack them.
Popovich also will talk politics and things that give juicy quotes once in a while. So whether people love him or not, he at least gives some substance at various points. And you can argue whether you like him talking about it or not, but he gives you something occasionally. Belichick rarely gives you anything.
I would have loved it if he would have given an answer to the Brady question, said, "What do you think? I don't like it at all. That knucklehead should be here. What is he, a moron?" I would have loved that. Yeah,
just once, like
just really,
when
just
he decides he's going to step aside, and it's like week 14, and you're cruising to another 13-3 season. Just give an answer like that. Yeah, just one.
He could even have said, "How the hell do you think I feel? How the hell do you think I feel? Huh?" I would love to hear him say that.
How did it feel to lose?
Yeah, exactly. That'd be great. All right, Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Tom Karadimnesson's going to join us. We'll find out what he thinks about Jackie Bradley, maybe going to AAA, as we talked about yesterday.
All right, TC next. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Go. Thank you for making us a part of your afternoon routine. People of Planet Earth, we appreciate you. The huddle is back right here on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. A busy Tuesday. A little rain out there.
Yeah.
Not as nice as it was yesterday, that's for damn sure.
We're on a roller coaster with the weather.
When's it going to start getting the real nice, you know? Shorts. No. I'm wearing sweats today.
It's supposed to be 83 on Friday.
Nice, Sean Parker. Look at you. You know, you look a little like Sean Parker, too. I want you to say
what?
That. He does look a little like Sean
he
Parker.
He does?
Tall, lanky type guy. You
well,
know?
That's about where it ends.
Well, what more do you want me to
is
say?
Is Sean Parker tall and lanky? I never noticed.
Yeah, I reached out to Sean Parker this week.
Well, let me guess.
I want to do the weather. Let me do the damn weather.
Can you imagine people tune into 2244 for the weather and there's Arnie Spanier?
How tough is it? You say five numbers. That's the high of the last 5 days. 72, 74, 73, 75, 77.
Up here it's tough. I mean, look at the last 4 days.
Sun, rain, sun. Oh, that's difficult. You just did the whole weather forecast.
It could be L.A. where it's sunny and perfect.
How are you going to kill the other 2 minutes doing the weather? How are you going to kill the other damn 2 minutes?
That's Tom Messner. He's the king of it.
Yeah, that's for damn sure. Let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, our Red Sox and Brewer insider from Nesson. Hey, it's Tom Karen. How you doing, T.C.?
Good. How are we doing, boys?
Oh, we're doing good. Right off the bat, Jackie Bradley Jr., we were debating about this yesterday. What should go on with him? Because I say if you even threaten to send him down, I'm going to walk away if I'm him. I'm like, you know what, just trade me. Get rid of me. I don't need this garbage.
Well, yeah, that's all well and fine, except, you know, what, you got the lowest OPS of any player in baseball over going back to last All-Star break. I mean, the guy just can't hit. And he's an elite defender, but, I mean, how do you get him on track? I was really surprised he's back in the lineup today. I mean, you're keeping Moreland on the bench. Moreland's hitting 300. He's hitting for power. He's a left-handed, you know, complement to your lineup. I don't know. I mean, I know they got a tough decision to make, and they're going to have to certainly look at all the options when Pedroia comes back, and one of them that you have to consider is Bradley back to the minors.
Oh, Tom, I'm sure you've talked to him before, talking about JBJ. Does he seem like the kind of guy that would take a demotion okay and just say, all right, look, I'm going to go down there and hit 320 and earn my way back?
No. No. I mean, no, I don't think he would. I think he would have a real hard time with that. I think, you know, there's a guy who's been a Gold Glove finalist, and in my opinion, should already have a Gold Glove, if not two. And, no, I don't think that would go over well. And I'm not sure that's... But what are the options? I mean, you basically got three options. You send him down, you send Brock Holt down, or you designate Blake Swihart for a sign. Those are your three options. Now, again, still saying in baseball these things work their way themselves out. Somebody gets hurt. We'll see what happens. You don't have to decide today. But if nothing changes, you got to do one of those three things. And, you know, I think in the end I would probably do Holt for a very short time and look to move one of the other two. But it's a little early in the season to trade Bradley, and you'd sure like to get him on one of those hot streaks if you're even going to consider that. it's a tough decision. I'm really not sure what you do, but Moreland sitting on the bench right now is not in the best interest of this team winning on a nightly basis.
TC, what about the kind of phantom DL trip? You make up something, you put him on the DL, clears his head a little bit, delays the decision with Swihart, gets Pedroia back in. Can they do that? Does that play any better with him potentially?
Well, that's the question. Does it play with him? You can do it if the player agrees. You can't tell the player he's hurt. And the player says, I'm not hurt. And you say, well, yeah, you are. I mean, unless you can find something. And truth is, you can usually find something. But the Hellenic flu, as we used to call it with the Celtics back in the 80s, because they practiced at Hellenic College, you got to get the player on board. Now, maybe, to your point, maybe if you're telling a player, listen, either you do this or we're going to have to send you down. So if you're going to play it out that way, maybe that is the answer, that, you know, a little phantom 10-day DL, then a little 10-day rehab in Pawtucket where you get yourself back together, and now it's 20 days, 3 weeks, or we're getting close to the All-Star break, then we'll see where we're at. So that might, you know, with one of these guys, that might be the way around it.
TC, I tune in to Nesson last night. Psyched to see the Paw Sox on. Looking forward to Dustin Pedroia and Rusne Castillo, and neither of them are in the lineup. What?
Yeah, I don't really get the Pedroia thing. I know it was rain in Rochester over the weekend, but I thought he would play last night too, and then he didn't. So, Alex Cora hasn't spoken today yet. Looking forward to see what he says about, you know, what this all means to Pedroia's return. Does this push it back a little bit? Can we still see him this weekend? I know they didn't want him to play in Tampa no matter what because of the turf, but I assumed we would probably see his return this weekend at Fenway. I'm not sure that this will change that at all.
And as far as Rusne Castillo, can you please explain this probably for the 500th time to our listeners?
Yeah, so when they did the collective bargaining agreement two times ago, they put in a clause that, you know, when they strengthened the luxury tax, you know, it's not really a salary cap in baseball, it's a luxury tax, right, that you got to pay, that a player who wasn't on the 40-man roster didn't count towards the luxury tax. If you call him up, now it does. So I'd have to look. I don't remember exactly what he's at this year, $14 million, whatever it is. That would immediately go on the books and blow you. So the Red Sox, as we know, have the highest salary in baseball. They are well over the luxury tax, even though they got under it last year. Getting under it last year was important because that allowed the tax to reset to zero. So now it'll be the lowest tax, which they're going to be over this year. The problem is there's another level, and I think they're $2 or $3 million away from it, where if you go over that, it balloons to the highest tax level, and you lose draft pick status, which is a major problem. So they literally, have like $2 million they could add to this roster unless they take money off. So Rusne Castillo could hit 500 with 80 home runs in AAA, and he's not coming onto this team, not without trading away enough money to bring him up. And the other problem is, if you trade him to someone else, if you eat any of the salary, that money that you eat goes on your salary bracket as well. So they would have to trade him and all of his money. Now, again, he understands. We've all talked about it, spring training. He understands. He came from a much worse situation in Cuba, and there is a worse place in life than making $14 million playing Triple A baseball. But this guy hits well enough to play in the majors, and he won't get the chance as long as his contract's in effect.
Tom Caron, Red Sox insider from Nesson, with us here on the Huddle, 101.3 ESPN. The one thing that we weren't anticipating is J.D. Martinez having to be a big part of the outfield. One, he wants to be, and two, the Bradley situation has forced him to be as he gets more days off. What have people said about Martinez's overall defense in the outfield?
If you watch him closely, he's okay. I mean, he's not great. We know that. But everyone thought he was bad. He was horrible. And he's not that. He gets to most, routine plays, doesn't butcher them, has shown a good enough arm, and has tracked down a couple of balls that he showed good range on. I think he's been fine. He's not Jackie Bradley Jr. He's not elite, but he's good. I mean, he's not a bad outfielder. And if that's how you get him and Hanley and Moreland in the lineup some nights, then that's your best option. Because, again, with Jackie Bradley Jr., he's so good, he just needs to hit a little bit. But he's not hitting a little bit. Now, he got the double the other day. That was his first extra base hit in forever.
Yeah.
And, so I get putting him back in tonight because you'd like to see a little growth from that. But if he goes over four with two or three strikeouts tonight, it's hard to imagine he sticks in there.
Right. Well, what about David Price? Had a good start last time out, quality start there. So is the troubles behind them or what? What do you make of him now?
Easy now. I mean, that's, you know, less.
Listen,
he's got to string a few together. Okay, he was okay in Toronto. Then he came home and was really, really good. Obviously, his best start this year, one of his best starts with the Red Sox. Now you got to build on it. He's had two seven-inning shutout performances against Tampa Bay this year. Right, his first two starts. So this lines up. He played there. He pitched there. He likes it there. He likes beating them. So if things line up here for him to have another good start, and now you can talk about. But you got to string a few together and not have a problem with the fingers or the circulation or the wrist or the carpal tunnel or the knee or the allergies or any of that. You got to be able to go out and pitch well several starts in a row, and then we can talk.
And how about Drew Pomerantz? I mean, how long is the string out on him? If he goes out there and stinks for the next three starts in a row, where are we going with that?
Well, I don't even know if he'll get three, honestly.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, Stephen Wright looked okay out of the bullpen the other day, and, you know, you would think the knuckleball is going to get even better with the chance to pitch a little bit more. I he proved me wrong last year. He had a great year, 17 wins. He was indispensable to this team. But I like him better as a reliever. And when you look at bolstering the bullpen, he can do that because he's pitched out of relief for most of his career, really, until the last year and a half. And, you know, you could put Stephen Wright in as a starter and you could put Pomerantz in as a reliever, and it might make this team better. Now, he could prove me wrong. He can go out and turn it on. He's done it before, but he's got to do it here in the next start or two, or else I think you have to give real consideration to Stephen Wright as a starter.
TC, we look at J.D. Martinez and Mookie Betts, and I think they're still tied 1-2 in the American League in homers. Maybe Machado passed them with a homer yesterday, but nonetheless, they're both really good. Do you look at it and say that the Sox have the best 1-2 offensive combination in the American League?
You know, it's a great conversation. We're actually having it. We have our morning call every day for the next show, and we're kind of having it a little bit this morning talking about, you know, Jose Martinez and Francisco Lindor in Cleveland, and obviously whatever two you want to take in New York, Judge and Stanton, most likely, even though their numbers aren't quite there this year. Andrelton Simmons is having a great run in Anaheim, so you throw him with Trout in there right there as well. But I think, yes, I think Mookie Betts is the best hitter in baseball right now. I think he's the MVP if the season ended today. And after a little bit of a slow start, I mean, if you go by WAR, wins above replacement, Betts is 1 and Martinez is 10. Now, those other guys I mentioned are all top 10 too. So it's interesting. You've got four teams with really good combinations. But I think Martinez is just, I mean, what's he got? 6 homers in 8 games and 8 and 14 or something. I mean, he is on fire. And I think he is just coming into zone. I think what hurts him in the WAR list is he's DH a lot, and so you lose the defensive ability to help the team. But as far as offense goes, yeah, they're the best ones.
And Martinez is spraying his home runs all over the place. So,
oh, everywhere. I mean, the opposite field power. You know, Steve Lyons joked you can't call it opposite field with him anymore because that's his field.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not opposite. I mean, that's what he does. He muscles it. But now you're right. He's pulling them. He's at dead center. He hit a couple on this homestand that were line drives to the batter's eye, and we're like still rising. And that you got to smoke a ball to get it up there. This guy is unbelievable. He's everything they could have hoped.
Where is Blake Swihart, say, July 1st?
Catching for a National League team. I mean, that's my guess at the end of the day. I think his values as a catcher, I don't think he's going to get the chance to catch here. I think at the end of the day, he's the kind of guy that could help your bullpen if you could trade him. I like Blake Swihart a lot, and I think he's going to have a good career. He's still really young. But I just think there's value there, even though he hasn't had a chance to hit much. Teams are looking for catching all the time. And you get a young catcher who can hit like that, that's a great way to bring in, you know, whoever this year's Addison Reed is going to be, who can come in and help your late-inning relief. So I think in the end they end up having to trade him.
TC, we'll get you out of here on this. You mentioned Dustin Pedroia's timeline. What can we expect from him when he comes back? Is he playing every game at second base, and is he hitting number 2 in the order and they're bumping Benintendi, or is he playing 4 games a week and hitting 8th? What are we thinking?
You know, it's interesting because 2 weeks ago I would have said, yeah, he goes right in that number 2. You take Benintendi, move him down, and take the pressure off him. But Benintendi's red hot again. out of nowhere, Benintendi has really caught fire. So I do think that now that's a little bit tougher to drop him in the two hole. But he's Dustin Pedroia. I think he'll get the chance to do that. I think he'll bat second. I think he will, you know, or third or whatever. He'll bat up there somewhere. And I do think that it's not going to be every day like it used to be, but I bet it's two out of three. I mean, I think Nunez will get time at second base, and they'll work to resting. It'll almost be like a catcher day game after night game. He'll not play in one of those, and so you might see him play four games a week rather than six or seven. You know, four or five games a week. He'll make him a better team. You know, the defense. I like Eduardo Nunez. I like what he brings to the team, but he doesn't have the glove or the range that Dustin Pedroia has. And having him back at second base more often than not, I think is going to make this team's defense a whole lot better.
All right, TC. Always a pleasure, my friend. Have a great week. We'll see how the Sox do, and we'll speak to you next week, buddy.
I was waiting for you. You going to go back to the weather report now, or are you going
to go back to the weather report? I want to get on TV so bad. I'm so good looking. The radio is just killing my career. You know that, don't you?
You know, I tried. We had a rain delay a few weeks back, and we have all the channels do their weather forecast for us, a rain delay. And I tried to fake it, and I got so much crap from the meteorologist. Like, I have no idea what I'm talking about. And everybody thinks they can do the weather, but we have no idea.
Oh, but they
raining,
do?
It's going to rain every day. Yeah. That's all.
All right, DC.
And it might snow. It might rain. It might snow.
Might
sunny. You know, there you go.
One of the three there. All right, DC, we'll catch up with you next week. We'll speak to you later.
Thanks, guys.
Right, take care. Tom Karen, our Red Sox and Bruin insider. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the hour. Gone but not forgotten. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
It's Tuesday, which means it's time for Gone but Not Forgotten. Brought to you by Elmwood Meunier Funeral and Cremation Center in Burlington.
Once again, thanks to our friends over at Elmwood Meunier Funeral and Cremation Center in Burlington. A family's love is forever. Feel free to contact them 24/7. Elmwood Meunier even has affordable options for your pets. I got two of them. Not a great death day. I got to tell you,
What a shame.
Well, first of all, gone and maybe forgotten is old momentum for the Boston Celtics. Yeah. They were up 2-0 and pretty much had this series wrapped up and ready to go to the NBA Finals.
Yep.
All momentum is gone, dead, and forgotten at this point. That's for damn sure. And I'll give you a person that died on this date. The first ever First Lady, Martha Washington, at the age of 70 years old.
What year?
Don't ask me because I don't know.
Does she also have wooden teeth?
George did.
Yes, that's why I'm saying.
I don't know. That's it's not a polite question to ask a lady these days.
That's not
your weight, and if you have wooden teeth, don't you know that? What is wrong with you?
Damn, I'd love to go out on a date with you, but those wooden teeth. Are
and how
an
much
issue.
Do you weigh? Those are two questions you don't ask.
All right, can I change it to forgotten but not gone?
Sure.
Just for today.
Okay.
Sure. My most maddening player in the history of the Boston Red Sox, Clay Buchholz, is back again. He allowed one run on 2 hits and 5-plus innings on Sunday for the Arizona Diamondbacks. He got a no decision as the Mets won, but according to Torrey Lovullo, former Red Sox guy, I assume he's probably knew Buchholz from way back when, he will get another start in the Arizona rotation. I cannot think of a single more frustrating pitcher to watch in my life for the Boston Red Sox than Clay Buchholz. I'm glad he's back. But I've forgotten about him.
Gone but not forgotten, a baseball hit by Rafael Palmeiro. The 53-year-old Palmeiro in, well, numbers would be worthy of a Hall of Famer, but steroids going to knock him out of that. But playing in the independent leagues of Texas, hitting a homer the other day.
There you go. Thanks to our friends over at Elmwood Meunier Funeral and Cremation Center. When you're in that time of need, make sure you give them a call in Burlington. Affordable options for your pets. Plus, they have sports-themed burials. Elmwood Meunier and a Funeral and Cremation Center. Hour one of the books. Freddie Coleman coming up next. Stick around for him. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Everyone is listening to the huddle. It's almost like we've got a quarter of a billion listeners per month. This is The Huddle with Rich Hardy and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in The Huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN, mere moments away from Freddie Coleman By the way, I noticed that you and I are the only two people that didn't send emails back congratulating everybody for winning their awards.
Well, I don't know how because
oh, stop
I just,
it!
I just
reply send it, all.
I want to send it to one person.
Right. Wait, I'm going to do it right now, all so right. I'm not going to be the only guy in this building.
Okay,
that's a bad guy.
So instead, I will be.
Yes, I already trashed everything.
All right,
but I'm going to do this.
All right, well, good. Well,
I'm going to hit reply all. Reply okay. all and say yay team.
All right, I'll
yay, do that too. Yay team.
There you go. So I'm now the only one.
Yes, now you're the only
one. So I'm bad
for
morale. I'm the morale killer.
You are horrible for morale.
Of course, no one has any idea what you're talking about. I guess people in our building won a bunch of production awards, which is great.
I'd be happier for everybody if I knew that this was going on. Nobody sent me an email or anything like that. That there was the award ceremony today. I would have wore a tuxedo.
Not even your wife who showed up?
Well, I thought she went to see her boyfriend.
You didn't say yay team. You said yeah team, and therefore you are grammatically incorrect. But Freddie's on the line, so.
All right. Let me go out to the TikTok.
Stuck with Freddie about grammar.
Let me go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, probably one of the few guys I don't badmouth behind his back in the media from ESPN. Hey, it's Freddie Coleman. How you doing, Freddie?
It'd be better if you badmouthed me to my face.
Ah, Freddie. Hey, right off the bat, Celtics-Cavs last night. Oh, my goodness. Oh, momentum that the Celtics had after the first two right out the window. How did you think last night went, obviously, and then what do you see for the rest of the three games, if it goes three games?
I don't think anybody should have been surprised that Cleveland won the next two games because the Celtics did what they were supposed to do. They held serve at home. And Cleveland, we wonder how would the supporting cast of LeBron James play when they got back home. That was a big question because LeBron was not the question because he played well in the first two games outside of game one. But in game two, he was terrific. So they played well and they held home court. Now, if you're the Boston Celtics, you have to look at yourself and say, guys, we were trying to do too much trying to overcome ourselves on the road. Let's just do what we do because when we've been able to do that, Cleveland's not been able to beat us at home. If they're able to do that in two out of the next three games, they're going to win the series.
So, Freddie, what adjustments do you think the Celtics need to make then for Game 5? It's not as simple as just saying, well, we're home, so it all falls into place.
Well, make sure Terry Rozier does not have to cover LeBron James that much anymore because I don't know why they thought that that was going to turn against them or turn, especially turn for them, that LeBron was going to miss some shots. Even Terry Rozier said, hey, that guy's unstoppable, and you put me on him. I'm up for the challenge, but I know I won't be able to keep that guy from doing what he wants to do. Whatever they did to make sure that he could not get caught in switches. They did a better job of that in the fourth quarter where they had Morris, whoever was guarding LeBron James, fight around that and not have Rozier caught in that switch. So that's the one thing to me that they have to do. The one thing that they were so good at in the first two games, they made it tough on LeBron James to make shots. Even he had 23 points in the first quarter, in 21 points in the first quarter, game two, he still had to make tough shots. The Celtics have to go back to that because that was as comfortable and as easy of a 44-point game that I've seen any superstar have in the NBA playoffs.
Mm-hmm. And, Freddie, did you ever think you'd utter the words Kyle Korver defensive stopper at all?
Kyle Korver never thought he would hear the words Kyle Korver defensive stopper. I mean, he had three blocks and all on Jaylen Brown, who is as young as young can be playing in the series and as athletic as he is on the wings. But Kyle Korver is always going to give you that kind of effort on defense. Is he a bad defensive player? Not really, but he's a guy that people try to take advantage of. But he's always been able to know his position, know it well, and know exactly what the defense needs from him to make sure he does not get exposed. But last night, that's one of those outlier kind of things that I'm sure even Kyle Korver was completely stunned that he had more than one block shot in the game. He probably hasn't had three block shots in the season, much less in the game.
All right, Freddie Coleman joining us from ESPN Radio. You can check him out, Freddie and Fitz. Freddie, you know, back to Game 5 for a second. We were arguing about this. I said, if the next game, well, Game 3, LeBron had 12 shots. Game 4, he had 28 shots. Which do you want him shooting in Game 5, 12 or 28?
I want the LeBron James to score 44 points. I don't care how many shots he has to take to get 44 points because Game 3, he didn't have to worry about doing so much, and he was so efficient anyway. But everybody else was stepping up. Last night, the Celtics did a much better job not allowing George Hill to do to them early on what he did in Game 3. But when a guy is rolling like that and you're not making the adjustment to take that away, then you allow LeBron James to walk into a 44-point performance. If I'm the Cleveland Cavaliers, that's the guy I want to see. Because if LeBron gets 44, more than likely, especially in the pivotal Game 5, you're going to come out on the other side with a win if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers because whoever wins Game 5, I believe it's going to win the series. If Cleveland wins Game 5, we're not getting to a game seven.
Yeah.
If Boston wins game five, I think we'll get a seven-game series, and Boston will win that anyway.
Freddie, and I also want to know, tell me what you think of my theory here, and it could be way off. Who knows, but what the heck. We all have our crazy theories. But the fact that in game three, we all know that if Cleveland would have lost, they would have been down 3-0. For the most part, the series is over. I was surprised that LeBron only shot 12 times. I'm like, man, if it was his last game with Cleveland and he was going to leave after that and this was the last go-around, I thought he'd try to go for 100 points. The fact that he only shot 12 times maybe thinks that he's going to stay in Cleveland, or am I reading too much into that?
I think you may be reading too much into that, looking for the second gunman on the grassy knoll. But I will say this. I will say this about LeBron James. I don't think it's as likely that he's going to leave, because the options are not going to be better than maybe what he has now. I know he has his eye in Philadelphia, but Joel Embiid made it a point to let everybody know, we don't need anybody else. We're good where we are. The Houston Rockets, LeBron James, the reports are out, he wants to play more off the ball. Well, in Houston's offense, you got to play more on the ball and have the ball in your hands with their ISO offense that's heavy with them. So your theory may be off into the hinterland at that point. But at the same time, I don't think it's as likely that he leaves Cleveland, because the options that he may want to go to, the teams he may want to go to increase and better his options, may not be there the way it was the last time when he left Cleveland for Miami, or when he left Miami to go back to Cleveland.
Freddie, I can assure you the words Ernie's theories and grassy knoll used in the same sentence, that's not the first time that's happened. So.
And it won't be the last time.
Yeah. I can assure you. So what's it like for you as a late night host to be able to get reactions right after games? That's got to be a good advantage.
Man, it's so fantastic, because by the time everybody else has a chance to talk about it the next day, Ian and I have already been able to dive into it, and we get reports from the local announcers that work for the teams or cover the teams in those cities, whether it's Boston, Cleveland, Oakland, or definitely Houston. That's always been the fun part about our show, is that we get that immediate reaction, not just from us, but anybody that follows us on Twitter. And we get so many calls this time of year, because so many people have what they want to say about what they saw in the game, what it's going to portend for the future of that series, or for somebody like LeBron James, who becomes a free agent after this year is over. So that's always one of the cool things about an NBA conference finals or a Super Bowl or a national championship game in football, the World Series. We're on right after that, so we're the first people to have reaction to it before everybody else has a chance to decipher and put their spin on how they're going to put it on there when it comes to that game or a certain performance.
Freddie, what impresses you most about sports right now? Is it a guy like Shohei Ohtani who's doing something unprecedented that we haven't seen in baseball in 80 years? Or is it LeBron, Tom Brady, Roger Federer doing things that we never thought you could do at the ages these guys are at? What impresses you more?
I think you have to put all of that into one box, and then you have to throw what the Vegas Golden Knights have done in their first year in the National Hockey League. They were 500-1 odds to get to the Stanley Cup Final. And I'm thinking, boy, I wish I had known about that before the season got started. I would have laid down about $50 to $100 in the Vegas Golden Knights getting the Stanley Cup Final. And that's always been the beauty of sports, because you can say this and say that. You can predict or think you're predicting the right way what's going to happen, and then something always comes up that'll leave you shaking your head, no matter if it's a game situation or a season situation. We go back to the beginning of the year. Who saw Alabama winning the national championship in football the way that they did, with a backup quarterback coming off the bench and throwing the winning touchdown pass versus Georgia? What the Philadelphia Eagles did in their great run with a backup quarterback winning the Super Bowl and beating Tom Brady on the other side? Or Serena trying to come back in tennis, or Tiger was trying to have a comeback in golf? So many different things are always going to happen that I compare this trying to have a game plan for losing. No one ever has a game plan for losing. No one ever has a game plan for upsets happening or something unpredictable happening. And so when it happens, our hair is always blown back because we didn't see it coming. And it's usually worthwhile when something like that happens.
All right, Freddie, you brought up Tom Brady. You know it's got to be eating Belichick alive. Who, by the way, he looks in midseason form and crabbiness just from his press conference. He just looks like he's in midseason form, Freddie.
Well, he's in midseason form because he knew that he was going to be asked those questions about Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski not being there. And the last thing Bill Belichick wants to have to do is explain why a player is not there, especially Tom Brady. Now, unless Tom Brady's going to have amnesia between now and July, I don't think he's forgotten the offense of New England Patriots. but this was a clear dig from Tom, in my opinion. This was a clear dig from Tom Brady at Bill Belichick, saying, yeah, I know you wanted to keep Jimmy Garoppolo and you wanted him as your quarterback in the future and you don't believe in saving players. but you still need me if you're going to win a championship, if you're going to compete for a championship. So you know what? Me and Giselle and the kids, we're going to be hanging out somewhere else, enjoying our time, but I'll see you in July. Bill Belichick probably did not mind Tom Brady not being at OTAs, but having to talk about it, answer questions about it, that's the last thing he wanted to do.
Freddie, people say that ESPN has a Patriots bias. What do you say to that?
What?
Absolutely.
Everybody, well, let me see. So far, in the 14-plus years I've worked at ESPN, we have an East Coast bias, a West Coast bias, an Alabama bias, a Cowboys bias, a Yankees bias, a Red Sox bias, a UConn women's basketball bias, a World Cup not involving the United States bias. It depends. People are going to believe what they want to believe. And you know what? That's fine, because you're out there on that tightrope when you don't have a trampoline to catch you or a net to catch you when you fall. You have to expect that what you're putting out there, you don't know how it's going to be received. And I'm completely fine how people receive that or whatever their perception is going to be. That's not going to change what we're going to be about. When something is a storyline, guess what's going to lead the way? It's going to be that story. People always talk about that they have LeBron James fatigue from ESPN, yet the ratings for the first four games of the Eastern Conference Finals are higher last year when ESPN had the Western Conference Finals with Golden State and San Antonio. So if you're sick and tired of hearing about the Patriots or LeBron James, then stop paying attention, because apparently that's not happening when it comes to whatever bias that ESPN or anybody else has when the big story is out there.
Freddie, let's move over to the Giants. A lot of Giant fans in this area, too. What do you think Saquon Barkley can do to this fan base? I didn't love the pick at the time, but I'm getting excited about the player now.
I love the pick, because when you got a potential once-in-a-generational player that not only can help your quarterback in Eli Manning, but also help your defense. But even, I know the offensive line is in flux, but they got Nate Solder. So automatically the offensive line is going to be a lot better than it was last year. And they can find a way to send flowers on his way. That's going to be addition by subtraction for the New York Giants. But anytime you have a potential guy that can help so many different parts of your team, you can't pass on a guy like that. You can't just say, well, we can get a fifth-round pick to do the same thing. No, you can't, because people thought the same thing about the Dallas Cowboys, saying, why did they take Ezekiel Elliott that high? We've seen the effect of that offensive line, what Ezekiel Elliott has done for the Dallas Cowboys. Not saying Saquon Barkley can do that, but anything he brings to the table in terms of playmaking ability with Eli Manning and also Odell Beckham Jr., to me, that was the only choice the Giants needed to make, because that was the perfect guy for this football team to help them going forward into the future.
All right, he's Freddie Coleman, host of Freddie and Fitz, though. Arnie, Freddie, and Fitz, that has a good ring to it, though.
There you go. Yeah, that's going to be part of your conspiracy theory. I can see that coming already.
Or Grassy Knoll.
I love it. Yeah. Freddie, we always love having you on, buddy. You know that, don't you? And I love having you on. You're a great guy, even though we work at different places. And we certainly got to do it again, okay, buddy?
No doubt about it. You guys give me a call. Can't wait to talk to you guys again.
All right. Thanks, care. Freddie Coleman, everybody. ESPN Radio. Freddie and Fitz. What a voice, too.
Boy, he's so good. Do you realize we just talked to him for 10 minutes, and I kept track? He did not say or once.
No. He's,
not once.
Yeah, he's very smooth. Very smooth. He's been around a long time over at ESPN also. How long has he been there?
I don't know. And he's always been happy in that time.
Yes,
too.
Yes, you know? Absolutely.
A lot of people are always on the, you know, they want the morning drive. They want the afternoon drive.
I'll be honest. I've been waiting for him to get fired for a long time so I could take that slide. It just never happened. He's too good.
That's right. So are you guys directly against each other at any point of the week? Like on the weekends, obviously?
No, he doesn't do weekends.
He doesn't do weekends.
So you're not quite directly against
each other. No, but maybe when I did network radio, I don't know what my slot was.
I could never want to beat that guy, man. He's good.
He's good.
I mean, like I was saying earlier in the show, we went down to Bristol, and everyone's just so nice. It was alarming how nice everybody was down there, but he might have been at the top of the heap.
We should have asked him if he wears his 101.3 ESPN t-shirt that I gave him. I should have asked him.
Did you see me interrupting Freddie, too? Freddie, come on, Freddie. You don't know what you're talking about. Come on.
No.
What the hell's wrong with you?
You were very nice to him.
Yeah, I got to be nice to him.
It's pretty hard not to be nice to him.
Well, when you go to him, you know we love having you on, don't you? It's like you're looking for validation. I was like...
Was I looking for validation?
A little bit.
Well, I told him I'm the only guy I don't talk smack about behind his back.
Yeah.
I mean, usually I do that about everybody, so...
What do you say about us when we're not
around? Oh, you don't want to know.
Do you ever talk about us nationally?
Yes, I actually do. I bring you guys up.
I was going to say, are you embarrassed by it?
No, I got two schlubs that they do.
Schlubs. Nice.
But it's... Said with a lot of love.
Do you ever say us by name?
Yeah, no, not. I don't know. I don't remember really. I talk so fast.
I don't remember.
I don't know if I say you guys by name or I just say my.
Sound like a politician.
My, you know, weekday show. I don't know if I say that.
But do you mention Burlington, Vermont?
Oh, yeah. People, I speak about Vermont. Listeners? Oh, I speak about Vermont all the time.
Oh.
Yeah. How we're on the border and that I'm not allowed back in L.A. And
how do
I'm out here.
How do Rich and I get to, because now that your son is going to play college hockey.
Yes.
You're going to be you're going to be going to see him play sometime.
Yes.
So you're going to have to take some time off. So how do Rich and I get to fill in for you?
That would be great. I don't know if I want to keep doing Saturdays. Maybe I'll do Sundays. I don't know. It's going to be tough because I do want to watch my kid play college hockey 7 days a week. I've been doing that for 2 full years almost now. Almost.
Wow.
Yeah,
I'm sure the Kent State alum, the crowd's going to be real thrilled to have you at all the games.
Me just screaming.
That's the worst bleeping call I've ever seen.
Yeah, I don't know how much playing time he's going to get his first year, because they have a senior goalie, so I don't know how much I'm going to miss out.
They're playing Oswego in their first game.
Yeah, look at that.
Oswego's club team.
Yeah, it's ACHA.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not NCAA.
It's probably still really good.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, he had an NCAA offer, but we're just like, no, because he would have been one of like 50 goalies.
Right.
So it's like, no, it's not even worth it. You're never going to play in like 5 years. So the hell with it.
So no more riding the buses around Quebec and Ontario.
Yeah. But yeah, there you go. Arnie, Freddie, Fitz.
So is he showing up to help me with the equipment tonight, Shay, your boy?
Yes, he will. But they're going to be going to Kent State. I think I have to do it the week my wife's gone. So maybe I'll switch with somebody and have you guys set up the equipment.
But Beth will be there,
yourself.
Right?
Yes, Beth
will
be there.
Right in my face.
Trivia tonight. Tell everybody.
That Burger Bart. 7:30. Be there.
Do I want you to read the specials, or are you going to butcher it up all over
Hang on. Let me get
half
my
price,
phone.
Half price appetizers, and they've got great beer specials, including Goza and Long Trail. So it is Fat Tire.
Yes. 16-ounce cans of Fat Tire, $3.50. Miller Lite Draft, $3. Blue Moon, $3. Coors Light, $2.50. $2.50?
Nice.
Now you're talking.
There you go.
So, and half price appetizers. So those great wings, and I always recommend the chicken sandwich with guacamole. Yeah. I've gotten very Tom Brady-ish lately.
I don't know what I'm going to order.
I might go potato skins tonight.
Matter of fact, that's our last story standing.
What is potato skins?
Well, something like that.
Okay. And remember, all the games will be
serious.
On. The games will be on too. So you got Red Sox and Rays.
All right,
with no chance of a rainout for once.
Yes,
that's nice. They're playing indoors.
Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Coming up next, were Tom Brady and Gronk right next to Gillette Stadium today, but not practicing?
Were they hanging out at Dunkin' Donuts?
The horrors.
Maybe.
Dunkin' Donuts. They should have called me. I would have hung out there. All right, all that's coming up next. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Go Lake. Studies show that listening to 101.3 ESPN makes you more productive. And we'll prove it when we get around to it. This is the huddle on 101.3 ESPN. Let's go.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Did we get a qualifier there, Rich?
We did. It's Brian Lalim from Milton, home of the Milton Yellow Jackets.
Brian Lalim.
Yes, he
is qualified. Wait, didn't he play goalie for the Penguins?
Brian Lalim?
That's Patrick Lalim, isn't it?
There used to be a goalie named,
Lalim? Lalim?
I don't know.
He came in and won like his first 10 games when he was a rookie like 10 years ago.
And then nothing.
He? Well, I think he still may be in the NHL.
Huh.
Well, that's random.
Yeah, that's...
Well, because you said Patrick... Who is the winner? Patrick what?
Patrick Lalim from Milton.
And the goalie's name is what?
I don't know. I'll find... Now I have to look it up.
Now you got
to
look it up. Tom Fair Tire text line. Help Rich out. He's got all-timers going on right now.
802-655. Patrick Lalim. There you go. A Canadian professional ice hockey broadcaster.
Name. It's like the same damn name.
Pittsburgh Penguins. Yeah. Well done.
Thank you.
Not bad for an old guy.
Wow. That is like the same exact name.
Maybe it's him. Maybe him.
That's what I said.
After he left. Although he said he went to Linden State.
You don't remember him?
Well, no.
He came in and won like his first like 10 or 11 games as a rookie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my goodness. This guy's the best thing since sliced bread. Yeah. And I think he had a pretty good career. I mean, average. He played a long time.
Did he go to Ottawa after that?
I don't. That I can't.
Trying to remember.
Don't ask me questions.
Brady, what do you think of
this? I don't know.
Brady's giving us that.
Don't ask me questions.
Stop talking
like that. So there you go. Brady, what's coming up? What are we got going on?
Did you see the story from the Boston Herald reported? And it hasn't been confirmed. In fact, other people are refuting it. But the Boston Herald reported that Tom Brady and Gronk were not at OTAs, but they were at the TB12 facility adjacent to Patriot place.
How was it reported? I mean, was there a sighting, or was it just like a third party?
The
or?
Boston Herald says sources to me. So obviously okay. They don't want to, you know, the people were anonymous. They said sources to me, Brady and Gronk are not participating in OTAs, but they are at the TB12 facility.
I believe that. You want to know why? Because this is not like a report where it says Tom Brady's unhappy, because that's subject to somebody's feelings, and then you got to get it through somebody who knows Tom, and was he really unhappy? Are you assuming Tom Brady's unhappy? This is no BS. I mean, if you're saying a source says you saw Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski at TB12, you know, you're not making that stuff up, though, you know?
The Dale and Arnold radio show on WEEI said they have sources that confirm that they're both out of town. So, who knows?
What?
Classic Patriots.
What? Well,
they're
maybe they could have been there earlier.
In Savannah.
So, I guess...
Does Gronk have a Twitter account? Yeah, so can't we just see where he is on his Twitter account right now or something
GPS.
Like that?
Gronk's on Instagram,
Instagram
I know.
Instagram or something?
The only thing then I wonder is, let's just say for a second that this is true.
Okay.
Let's say for a second this is true, and we don't know that it is, but if it's true that they are at TB12 and not practicing, Rich, we'll ask you.
Right.
Does this change your mind? Would you think it's a big deal then if they're not... Because then Tom Brady's not spending time with the family as you've given him a free pass
right.
for.
No, I would have a problem with that. I mean, I'll never have a problem with anything. He could do just about anything, and he's got a free pass for life for every Patriots fan. But yeah, that would raise an eyebrow or two for me if I had eyebrows. Yeah. And so, you know, I mean, that would be a concern of mine, absolutely. Oh. Because that would wipe out the whole idea, as you just said, that he's off on some island somewhere with Giselle and the kids.
It's an act of defiance.
That I agree with. I think if you're literally talking about not only the same zip code, but right next to, you know, the facility, that would strike me as a little bit of a defiance.
That's
thing,
like
no
sending
question.
A message, too. That's sending a message.
I agree.
And Freddie
agree.
Coleman just told us he thinks it was a clear shot at Belichick. Yeah.
But I'll say it again. That's if the sources are correct. Yeah.
Well, which source are we believing exactly?
I've been saying that for months. I mean, yeah. Who knows when it comes to the Patriots. Some of the things I hear, I can't believe. But you know what? If he's in Foxborough, I think that's kind of a slap in the face to the
organization. Can we find, where's Giselle? Doesn't she have like an Instagram that we could see if she's out modeling somewhere? Because if she's out somewhere, you know, Tom's not too far behind.
She's hanging out in Jericho.
Yeah,
she's
hanging out in
looking
Jericho,
to buy
yeah.
my house over the weekend.
But yeah, no, then I think it's even a bigger deal than I originally thought, because then you're doing an act of defiance against Bill Belichick.
I'll give you that.
It wouldn't be as big a deal to me about Gronk, but it would be a huge deal about Brady. Because Gronk, we have heard based on yesterday that he's working on a contract restructuring. He cannot do that officially until May 24th. So if he is putting himself in Foxborough with the anticipation of signing that deal on May 24th and then joining his teammates, then I'll say good on him that he's putting himself in a position to be around the team again. Right. If Tom Brady is in Foxborough and deems it more important to work out with Alex Guerrero then forge new relationships with his new teammates and hone his skills, I think I would not be the only one to have a major problem with that.
And the Gronk thing, too, it reminds me a little bit of the wrestling promotion he did, wasn't it? That was right at Gillette Stadium, wasn't it? I mean, that's basically just rubbing it right in your face. So if Gronk is there, you say you wouldn't have a real big problem if Gronk is in Foxborough. But, well, first of all, Gronk lives in Foxborough, which we found out once his house got robbed during the Super Bowl. But I don't think in this case we can say Foxborough. We have to say right there at the stadium
and
in
Brady,
Gronk's case. But that would bother me if he's right next door.
In case our listeners don't know, because I'm already confused, there are, what, 4 weekends of OTAs? And this is weekend number 3 of optional? I think that's the way it used to be for the Cowboys. But
Phase 3, as Belichick put it today.
And when you're a big star, you rarely make it to all 4. Of the OTAs.
Well, I don't
know
exactly
how many there is. Okay. At least for the Cowboys, when I used to cover the Cowboys, there were 4 OTAs because we would go to that stuff. We'd go to their practices and we just hang out, you know, get free food and stuff and watch stuff. But, you know, I think there was 4 sets of OTAs. And then after the 4th one, then you got into the mandatory stuff, whatever they had after that.
The Patriots offseason program right now is May 21st and 22nd. Then May 24th, which is Thursday.
Right.
Then May 30th to the 31st.
So that's the third one.
June 11th and June 12th.
Is that optional too? That's the fourth
yes.
one?
Yes, okay. And June 14th and 15th.
Oh, so they have 5 then.
Yeah, but some of them are in the same week.
So this is only I see. So there's really 4 and one's a long one.
Mandatory minicamp is June 5th through 7th. So it splits OTAs.
Okay.
So there you go. So that's when things get interesting. People don't show up for that, then we've got some concerns.
Oh, you have to.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Yes, mandatory mini camp is June 5th through 7th. And that will split up OTAs, which will again be optional after that.
Look, missing OTAs doesn't put you behind the eight ball or anything like that, but it does send a message to your coaches that, whatever message you want sent, in this case, blank you, I'm tired of your crap. And this is the first, by the way, is this the first message Tom Brady has sent to Bill Belichick in how long, if any?
I think I saw this was the first time he's ever missed this phase of OTAs.
You said earlier, though, what, since 08, though, but this...
No, but yeah. No, he missed the weightlifting portion of OTAs, which came earlier.
Yeah.
He has never missed the on-field OTAs in his career.
And we both agreed yesterday, if Jimmy Garoppolo was here, there's no way he would have done that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Because I could see Belichick going, man, made me trade Garoppolo, and now he didn't show up. You know if Garoppolo was here, he'd be here. You know, it'd be a screaming bloody murder about that. If you want to get in, 802-655-6672, 802-655-6672. When did Brady and Gronk become buddies so close during the – I know they were always friends, but now it's like they're joined at the hip for crying out loud.
Well,
you
it's because Gronk wanted to join the Guerrero regime. Yeah. So
it's all you got to do to get in with Tom.
I had somebody ask yesterday during Champlain Valley Game Night on the text line. They said, would Belichick make all this go away if he just gave Guerrero back his access to the field? Would that make, or gave him back his full access? Would that make everything better? And I said, I thought, no, it wouldn't. Belichick has made the whole Patriots way based on you falling in line with what I think. If he goes back on that for Brady, then I think that's sending the wrong message and one he doesn't want to send. What do you think?
Well, I think you could grow. I don't think it has to be one way for the last 20 years. I think you could, you know, ease up your stance and say, well, you know, what happened 20 years ago maybe is not the way I would have run things now. Kind of like the national anthem, you know?
And at what point did the Alex Guerrero situation blow up as far as Belichick saying no more?
Last year.
I mean, it was only like a year ago.
Last year before the season, right?
So they went like 17
or during
years.
During the season.
Yeah, during the season.
So they went like 17 years of putting up with it. So, I mean.
Well, I don't think they were that close, 17 years.
All right, well, 10 years, whatever the TB12 thing has been going
on. And something must have happened because obviously Belichick's like, and to me, Belichick allowing it is him showing some compromise. But something must have happened where they went, you're out of here.
Yeah.
Right now, you're out of here. In the middle of the season, who upset Tom Brady? Not a smart idea.
You're right. There must have been one incident that happened because all of a sudden it was no.
And what about this? Belichick has been famous for treating players the same, no preferential treatment. And he's been made famous for making an example of Brady and not treating Brady any differently than anybody else. Well, Malcolm Butler, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Malcolm Butler was once benched 3 weeks for being one day late to OTAs because of a flight problem, a flight cancellation that he had to deal with, of which he made the team aware. And then he was coming off being a Super Bowl hero, was benched for 3 weeks. When Tom Brady shows up, does Belichick discipline him at all?
No, I believe what Jimmy Johnson once said, he says this a lot when talking about the Dallas Cowboys, somebody complained and said, wait a minute, you don't treat me like you do Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, and Mike Irvin. He goes, yeah, no, Blake, I don't. And when you're as good as them, I'll treat you like them. I treat them differently than the rest of the team, and maybe that's the way you should do
it. You know what? I think it's as simple as what Arnie just said. I mean, you're Tom Brady. You're Rob Gronkowski. I don't think it's a completely different situation from player to player.
It is, but Malcolm Butler just won you the Super Bowl year.
Well, you know how I feel about the Malcolm Butler situation. I mean, that was preposterous. That's where I draw the line as far as Belichick.
Yeah, but you're talking about this year. I'm talking about 4 years ago. Malcolm Butler won them the Super Bowl and then was late to OTAs by one day and then was benched and punished for 3 weeks. So you're not talking about, at that point, the Malcolm Butler that was undrafted out of South Alabama.
Right.
You're talking about Super Bowl hero.
But I think, big picture, though, was Malcolm Butler going to be a super... I mean, as it turns out, he was a very good player moving forward. But I just think Tom Brady's in another stratosphere as far as this goes. And I think even the most stubborn human being that ever walked the earth, Bill Belichick, knows that.
First-time texter, TB12, not at OTAs. We talking about practice? Practice, not a game, but practice? Yeah. Is that what we're talking about, Brady? Practice?
The old Iverson rant, which was like...
And she's got a good point about that. That's kind of the same thing, isn't it, with Iverson or no?
Yes. Yeah, well, that was different. Yeah. I think that was like in the NBA Finals, but...
Yeah.
So that's a bit different.
if you want to get into the Tom Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. Travis taking a shot at us. Cody just got in the car. Are we just repeating what we did yesterday? No, we're not. What are we talking about?
OTAs.
Yeah. I mean, we had Freddie Coleman on. We had Tom Caron on.
Yeah.
Had some baseball going on. What the hell's wrong with you?
Glenn in Moncton says, Belichick also punished Randy Moss for being late because of a snowstorm. Yes. You're talking about Randy Moss, who's a Hall of Famer who caught you 20 touchdowns one year. So you're not talking, like, he punishes stars. Now, I understand your point. I had a coach once tell me, don't ask me to treat you fair because not everybody deserves, you know, treating everybody the same is not fair because not everybody deserves the same treatment. Right. I understand that too, but if he's punished Malcolm Butler, Super Bowl hero, and Randy Moss, and he's been made famous for treating Brady like one of the guys, then I don't think he will, but I'd be interested to see if he did.
And by the way, something's gone on the last 2 years because we heard a clip of Giselle saying, you know, the last 2 years have been really, really trying. Something about the last 2 years, and I think part of it's got to do with Jimmy Garoppolo, my friend, being around the, you know, being the heir apparent. That's got to be the reason why, because what made the last 2 years any harder than the years before that? Nothing, other than the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo is sticking around, or was sticking around until they shift him off to San Francisco. So that's what I think was going on there. All right, Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Buster Olney, our ESPN MLB insider, was talking to Alex Cora on his podcast. He had a couple of great nuggets, but one really great story about Rafael Devers.
I'm like, is Buster Olney next? Wait a minute. It's not Wednesday. I'm like,
we're early.
Wait a minute. Do we have him on today? Well, that's coming up next. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Go Lake and Wingo, sports talk show. Nothing else comes close. Come to think of it, there isn't anything else. The Huddle, 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. And I've been spending money like crazy.
Why?
Well, get the dogs fixed. That was a lot of money. Brady, I sent you my bill. Brady couldn't believe it.
I couldn't even believe the price to get your dogs
fixed.
Yeah,
Brady's looking at the bill.
Insanity.
The price to get your dogs fixed wasn't what was horrible.
No,
it was that you had every other extra, like, all of their vaccines happened at the same time. Like, are these dogs, honestly, are they, like, functioning right now?
The drugs weren't off this week?
Oh, jeez. Yeah, to get the dogs fixed was $600, but my bill was $2,700, so.
$2,700?
On a dog? Yes, dollars. Well, what do you want me to do, let him die? What's wrong with you?
That's the problem.
What do you want me to do?
The plan B is not real great. Why didn't you just ask them what they wanted?
Let's get a vet to sponsor the show so we get free veterinarian stuff.
Free vet care?
Yeah, that's exactly what we
need. What a lucrative business that is.
It is, because you can't tell if they do good work or bad work, because the animals can't complain. So what difference does it make, you know? Jeez.
Wow. Again, that's Arnie at 101.3 ESPN.
Seriously, my dog didn't come over. It looked like it was in a good mood. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, success. You know?
How do they function with the cones?
It's terrible.
Are they still on?
Yeah, they have to be on for 9 more days.
Oh,
yeah. It's horrible. It's more pain on me than them.
When Spike got his ear bit, he got his ear bit.
Oh.
And he had to have surgery and had to be in a cone for 2 weeks.
Oh.
And it was in the snow. So he sniffs everything because he's a hunting dog. Now, we don't hunt, but he's a hunting dog. So he would put his nose in the ground.
And the snow would get caught.
And there would get snow caught in the mat and the cone. And then he'd flip it up back. And then he'd be running into, you know, bushes and everything.
Stanley hit me in the knee again. Put me back another week.
His face.
Just unbelievable.
It's horrible.
Yeah. I hate the cone. I really do. So I'm going to have to take that off sooner than later. It's bothering me.
No, don't. You've got to wait it out here. 9 days. I can just see you taking that thing off of, like, Thursday.
Tonight.
Not good for them.
No, I know. So I'm just going to have my wife deal with them. Boy.
Yeah.
Just like everything else.
Exactly. All right, Brady, what's going on Buster Olney's podcast?
Yeah, Buster Olney, the Baseball Tonight podcast, our MLB insider. He was talking with Red Sox manager Alex Cora, and there was a bunch of good things to take away from it. I've pulled 4 things that I thought were very, very interesting. So let's start here. Buster said, Alex, what is one thing you're finding that you enjoy about the job that you weren't expecting?
Honestly, it's before the game. You know, I get there like around 1, in between 1 o'clock and 7 o'clock. There's the interaction with the players. It's a different group. Our third baseman, he's 21 years old. And just to listen to them, the way they talk and what motivates them is intriguing. And I do enjoy that part of the game. Is great, just to make them feel better, and and listen to their worries and try to, you know, help them out any way I can. That's the part of the job I'm really enjoying.
Can you see John Farrell doing that?
I just want to know why the hell he's there at 1 o'clock. I mean, football teams aren't there that early before the start of a game, and they only play 16 games.
I'll bet he's there a lot earlier than 1 o'clock.
Yeah, I bet the players show up at about 1.
That's ridiculous.
That last year in the minors, I mean, traveling with a team, the guys were out on the field, the managers were in their offices at 10 o'clock in the morning.
I've noticed baseball players get there earlier. I don't know, LeBron only gets to the arena like, 2 to 3 hours before game time.
Yeah, but they have shoot around beforehand.
You mean in the morning?
Yes.
Well, so what, though? I mean,
so these guys don't leave. LeBron will be there for 2 hours beforehand and then leave and come back. Yeah, these guys will just be there.
7 hours is ridiculous. I get tired sitting around doing nothing for 7 hours,
Man, it's a lot more than 7 hours.
It's ridiculous.
It really is.
And it's a lot more than doing nothing.
That's insane.
That was the first thing I noticed last summer that really shocked me is you truly have to invest every second of your waking hours into the sport that you're playing. Every second.
Football players get there like 3 hours before their kickoff and they only play 16 games. They're like, yeah.
You know that?
Yeah, but they're also coming on the team bus.
Yes.
So when you guys have home games, I think they're more at liberty to come when they want to as long as they are there by a certain point.
That just seems like a little too early to get there. I'll be there like 2 hours before game time, coach. Don't worry about me.
Oh, yeah. It was like, I mean, baseball's like Groundhog Day. Yeah. It's just
Brady,
the exact
you show
same
up
thing
like
at the
six,
same time every
You show
day.
Up like 6 minutes before a YMCA basketball game.
No, I show up like 20 minutes before those, but you show up 1 hour before our show. I show up like 10 hours before our show.
Yes, that's true.
And
that's
it
true.
Shows.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Cora also talked about a side deal that he made with Rafael Devers when Devers was struggling. This was the best story of all.
Rafi, he's been chasing a lot of pitches lately, the last month. And this week, I asked him, Rafi, what's your favorite restaurant? And he told me what was his favorite restaurant. And I go, okay, let's make a deal. You give me X amount of money every time you chase a pitch out of the zone, and then I'll give you a gift certificate from your favorite restaurant if you walk or hit an opposite field home run. So, surely enough, that day that we made the deal, he walked for the first time like in 3 weeks, and he hit an opposite field home run the next day, and then he walks the next day. So, I found something that motivates him, and hopefully I keep his weight down because I don't want to get in trouble.
He's going to turn him into Pablo Sandoval.
I think they made the same deal with CeCe Sabathia, and look what happened to him.
It's all Alex. It's all Alex Cora's fault. What happened?
I thought that was good. So what gift card would you want if your manager came into you and said, hey, here's a gift card if you walk or hit an opposite field homer?
It'd be Cheesecake
Factory. Either the Cheesecake. Well, then I'd have to drive 3 hours.
That's okay.
I would say Olive Garden.
And you'd be what, Taco Bell?
Of course, Taco Bell, and if I lived in a place that had an Arby's, it'd be Arby's.
Though I would like to get something at like Dick's Sporting Goods or, you know, like Nike or something like that.
A Windjammer gift certificate wouldn't break my heart. You're talking local restaurants.
And we just did the show there.
Yes.
They love us there now.
They love me. I'm not about you two guys, but they love me.
Oh, is that what you heard?
That's what
I heard.
About
us. Yeah.
That's what the reports from the Boston Globe and WEEI, but I can't confirm nor deny that. I don't know.
Then Cora talking with Buster about J.D. Martinez and what makes him so good.
His preparation starts probably at 10 in the morning, and he's watching video, and then he goes to the ballpark, and he watches more video, and he reads a notebook, and then he goes to the cage, and then he talks to Tim Hires and Andy Barquette, and then they talk between them about the pitcher, and then he hits again, and throughout the game, it's this constant baseball talk that that good teams have. The good teams in the dugout, in the clubhouse, they talk about other stuff, but most of the time they're talking about baseball. How are we going to take advantage of X situations? How are we going to attack a hitter? And with JD, it's nonstop.
So we heard that Martinez was very invested, as you alluded to, and Cora proves that by saying, he gets there at 10 a.m. and all this. But you know, we know about his notebook. We know about his regimen. We know why he doesn't love being a DH. People started to wonder, does he swing too much? Is he going to hurt himself? And Cora said, no, he doesn't worry about that. But you talk about what it takes to be great, and Martinez has been great.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, what's the record? What would the record be if John Farrell was head coach right now, or was the manager right now?
Oof.
You can't say.
No, you throw that one up in the air.
The 32 and 15, you think they'd be that much worse? Is that what everybody's
That's
saying?
That's an impossible question to answer. I think the players, and you could ask the guys who have been around for a couple of years, but I think the players like Cora a little bit more. I know the media does right now.
I think they'd be within two or three games of what they are right now.
You're also playing with a different set of circumstances than we had last year, so it's not fair to evaluate. Look, Farrell had a great year, and he worked around David Price being non-existent for much of the year, but he also was the recipient of Drew Pomeranz being really good.
Right.
Now, Cora has David Price healthy to a degree, but he's got Pomeranz being terrible.
Yeah, but John Farrell also had the what's-his-face almost win Cy Young.
Porcello.
Porcello.
Yeah, I mean, he did win the Cy Young two years ago, but, I mean, but he was awful last season. Yeah. Cora's got good Porcello this year. So
you know,
maybe.
Damn if you do, damn if you. But I again, if everything's equal, I don't think it's all Cora. That's my point was that they're 32-15 has done a good job, but I think with Farrell, they'd still be right up there also.
Yeah, but everything is not equal.
And there's something, especially in baseball more than any other sport, because you're embedded with, you know, all of these guys for 200 straight days, and it's really important to get along with the manager and have some sort of good relationship between manager and players, more in baseball than any other sport, I think.
All right, I got two good last story standings. Gary Busey's involved, and pregame meal. So all that's coming up next. You're in the huddle right here on...
Time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, you guys, especially you guys are big baseball fans, but Brady and Rich, you guys know that Wade Boggs used to eat chicken.
Every day.
No, before every game or every home game, Brady? Before every game.
I don't know. Ask Rich that one.
That was before every game.
Every game. Well, yep. Alex Ovechkin on game days comes to the arena and orders chicken parm.
Sounds good. I like them already.
Pasta.
Good.
Italian bread and four different sauces waiting for him courtesy of Mama Lucci's restaurant.
Okay.
First of all, wouldn't that put you in a food coma having that much right before the game? I mean, that's a little too much for me.
Well, whatever it is he eats, it seems to work.
And he does it before every home game. My question to you is, would you still do it before every home game when you haven't gotten out of the second round before this year in how many years? I'd have to change up my pregame routine if I'm not getting any luck out of it, Brady.
Well, maybe he's not superstitious.
Doing it before every home game.
Whatever he ate before last night's game, it worked.
Unbelievable. Brady, do you have a pregame meal, the same one every time, or you mixed it up? You mixed it up.
No, I mixed it up.
Yeah, you can't be like Wade Boggs with chicken every time. That's crazy. And Brandi Chastain, did you see
him? Oh.
This is hilarious.
Go ahead, Brady, tell me, because I know she had,
a plaque.
A plaque made for her,
she
right?
was made. She was nominated, elected into some kind of Hall of Fame, and they made a bust of her.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it looks like a 55-year-old linebacker.
Well, we said it looks like Gary Busey.
It looks exactly like Gary Busey. I check it out when you get a chance sometime.
Looks like Billie Jean King a little bit, too, now that I look at it.
So you're saying Billie Jean King looks like Gary Busey?
Well, a mixture of the two.
There are a lot of people in life I'd love to look like. Gary Busey is not one of them.
Yeah, well, I don't know if Billie Jean King was the other one, too. But, that's of course, it's making the internet rounds. Not a good one. They may have to redo that one because
remember the Cristiano Ronaldo?
Yes, that was horrible. redid that, didn't they?
I don't know.
Yeah,
it's like the Tom Brady courtroom drawing. It's like, wait a minute, that's not me.
If anybody was going to make has anybody ever made like a sculpture of you, Arnie?
No, that's never happened.
Hard to imagine.
Yes, they don't even like taking pictures. So, no sculptures of me. All right, quick show today. We just flew on by. Who do I have to thank? Intern Logan? That was his last day today.
Yes, it was Intern Logan's last day.
Yes, and hockey talk.
I've got to submit his grade for the semester.
Yeah, what do you think?
C-.
That's all I ever wanted at Linden.
Well, I was thinking more D+, but I don't want to be tough on the kid, you know?
C-,
I think, is fair. What do you think?
No, I'd go C-, D+.
Brady,
yeah.
What do you think? C-?
I think he's going to get an A.
Wow!
Well, since he's the one who grades him.
I had to study and work hard to get an A. I never got an A.
I got so many Ds, it took me 7 years.
I never got an A. Wow. I should have been an intern.
By the way, trivia tonight, 7:30, yes. Burger Bar. I'll be hosting. Let's get a crowd out there.
And we were perfect on the mistake of the day, so you're going to have to try again tomorrow. No mistakes of the day if you want that. 101.3 ESPN baseball cap. Thanks to Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, working to do screen printing, vehicle lettering to get it right the first time.
All right. For Brady, for Rich, I'm Arnie. Champlain Valley Game Night coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.